week's missionary couple, Jesse and Mary Beth. And I'm not even going to say where they're going. I now can find it on a map, but I don't want to say incorrectly. But this church, we love missions, and we want to hear what God has put on your heart and what he's going to do there. And so you are very welcome to come and tell us.
I'm supposed to tell this or not, but I want to thank Pastor Wendy for letting us come today. We love telling everybody about God's call for us to the country of Vanuatu. It is not part of Africa, I promise. If you look on a map of Australia, just look to the right, and there's 85 little dots, and that's the country of Vanuatu. Well, we're Jesse and Mary Beth. And God has called us. God called us both when we were in our 20s, but, you know, back 100 years ago, that it's like, oh, where do we go? How do we even do this? Well, about a year and a half ago, we had area director and missionaries at our church for our missions conference, not conference, not, missions emphasis. And at our church, we do it for 2 weeks. Where missionaries come, tell us, you know, what they're doing. And so the area director was there, and he said, if you ever felt the call to the mission field, come talk to me. And that's how we got here. So we didn't know where we were going. We didn't care. We just wanted to be used by the Lord. I have been an executive administrative assistant and office manager for companies like IBM and Cargill, and, you know, just doing what I do. And I think it was God's plan all along for me learning as I changed positions and kind of went, you know, elevated up the ladder, I guess you'd call it, to where I was when I retired. And when we met with the area director at Mission, Assemblies of God has this thing called Missions in Me. It's where you go, you learn about everything there is to be about a missionary. And, you know, if you're called to a certain country, you learn about that. But we didn't know, we didn't care. And actually, I told my husband, I think we're called to go on a cruise ship. Because there's so many unsaved people there. And when we get to Missions in Me to go find out about all the missions, and there was actually this huge boat on the middle of our table, and I told him, see, it's a sign. But we are going to the Pacific Ocean area. And when the area director came to our table, he said, so tell me what you've been doing in a job. And I told him, you know, I've been in la, la, la. And he looked at his wife, and he sat back in his chair, and he said, Mary Beth, we have been praying for you for years. We desperately need an administrative assistant. So ever since about that day, I have been volunteering to help he and his wife plan conferences, meetings, doing all kinds of schedules for them, just taking off all this administrative work so they can do what God called them to do on the field.
Thank you, dear. We're going to an area in Vanuatu. I remember the name date ourselves. Wheel of Fortune. You all know Vanna White, right? That's how I remember. Vanuatu. Vanuatu is an area that still has never been reached for Jesus. They've never had the opportunity. There are some churches there, but when you go beyond the city, you get to an area in the world that we call the never reach. And we have a video we'd like to share right now.
There is a sound. Can you hear it? It searches for those that will listen. drifting, distant, desperate. It whispers in the ears of those that believe. It shouts in the streets, straining to be heard through the overwhelming noise. Can you hear us? The collective cry of fallen humanity, devoid of a savior. Centuries have passed without hope. We live here, hidden in the faraway places. Our land, strange. Our culture, a mystery. Our hearts, empty. Our people cling to anything that resembles truth. But what we seek remains out of reach. Our brutal spirits on the edge of breaking. Our prayers unanswered. Our gods stay silent. We are the never reached. We are still waiting.
We hear a sound. It echoes in our ears. It wakes us in our sleep. A voice in the wilderness. A message 2,000 years old. A final command. Go. A simple but profound directive from a saving God. With our victory assured, we journey to the ends of the earth. We climb mountains, trekked through jungles, landed on forgotten islands, searching. Many have received, but far too many still remain. Too many haven't heard. Too many don't know. This unfinished task is our urgent kingdom mission. Chosen. Seen. Heard. Called. Can you hear them? Nations. Cities. Tribes. People. They are the never reached. They've waited long enough.
There is a sound.
Can you hear it?
That's what the Lord has laid on our hearts. For they never reach. I don't care how many times I see that video, it just touches my heart. Because I think about the people out there that never had the opportunity to hear about Jesus. What Jesus can do in their life, how he can bring a peace, how he restore, how he can bring a life to them that they've never had before. See, here in America, we have the unreached. The unreached are the ones that you bump into at school, the store, your workplace, your neighbors. They have heard about Jesus. They know about Jesus. But they've never had the opportunity. They had the opportunity. They just never accepted Jesus and what Jesus can do for them. Because that's what Vanuatu needs. They need to experience Jesus. They need a life encounter experience with Jesus. Because when we have a life encounter experience with Jesus, we are changed. And that's what they need. The never reach are the ones that have never had the opportunity to hear about Jesus. Vanuatu, they worship objects, places. They worship past spirits that have passed on, like it's going to bring them hope. It's going to bring them peace. It's going to help them out. They don't know. They do have a calling. We all have a calling, it tells us in the Word. A calling, a earning to seek God. We can see God out there. When we look in the world, we can see how he created everything, how complex that is. And only one God could actually do that. We all have a earning to, and that's where Vanuatu is. So we need you to pray for us as we go over there. We need to that you pray for us spiritually, give us strength and wisdom and direction. But if we can reach that chief and help us to minister and to reach out to that chief, if we can reach that chief for Jesus, we can reach that whole village. Vanuatu is 85 islands, and it's down to about 65 of them that are inhabited. If you want to call their habitat. Some don't have roads, some don't have power, some don't have electric. But in each of those little islands, to give you an illustration, the island that we're going to stay in is about 1,500 square miles. Sioux, your county of Sioux Is it called Sioux? You counting here? Yep. It's about 700 square miles. So it's about double what your county is, how big that island is. The next island is the same size your county is. So that's the size that we are going to. But if we can reach that chief, and one way we're going to do that is when we bring this little pig in. But we'll bring the chief a real pig, okay? Being in Iowa, we know what pigs are all about. How nice they are, how cuddly they can be, right? How nice and smelly they can be. If we can bring a chief a pig, he's willing to listen to us about Jesus. We can talk to him about Jesus. Basically, they use a pig to bargain with. They use a pig as to buy a bride. If you have a daughter, you're going to get maybe a lot of pigs. If she's smart and good looking, you'll get a lot of pigs for her. So we can bring a pig to the chief, not for a bride, but just to open the doors. He'll only talk to us. And we give out these little pigs in children's church and after the service. So come back to our table. There he goes. And come and get a pig. And every time you see a pig out there, since we're from Iowa, remember those crazy missionaries in Vanuatu and pray for us. We're looking for partners to help us to get to Vanuatu. To give you an illustration, people say, what is Vanuatu like? It's basically, you have the one rural big city. Beyond that, you go into the jungle, you go into the forest. And to give you an illustration, we are going to be building churches. Mary, I think, shared that I have 45 years of construction, of doing construction. So we're going to be planting churches, building schools. They're actually waiting for me to get over there now to help work on a school over there. But we'll have to go into some remote areas. And to give you an illustration, Sam Parrish, one of the missionaries there, explains how tough and difficult this area is. But what I really like about the story is a couple of things. One thing is he heard God told him to go. Him and a pastor, they are trying to plant churches, trying to make connections where they plant a church in a village. So he's going to village to village. About 4 or 5 days of doing it all week long, they're ready to go home for a nice bed because they've been sleeping on the floor, a nice warm meal, and take a nice shower, get all that sweat off you. And there's volcano ashes over there, and that's just covering their skin, all the ashes. And as they're heading back to the vehicle, they come to a fork in the road, and the fork in the road said, this is the way to our car, all right. But the Lord said, no, I want you to go this way. And that's where we are in our life. We can sit back and say, we can take it easy. We can retire. We've done it all. In a church, I was on the board. I was on the mission board. I taught Sunday school. She taught missionaries. I did Rail Rangers. I helped in young adults, youth. I drove the van. I said, Lord, I've done it all. But God says, I got more for you. And that's where we're at. And that's where Sam was on this journey on the road. He looked at that fork. He asked the pastor. I felt the Lord wants us to go that way. The pastor agreed. As they going through this pass, they get to a spot where it just narrows down. Now it goes up to a steep cliff. He says he had to just crawl up there with his hands just to get to the top of this mountain. As he gets to the top of the mountain, there's a group of guys over there. And one of them comes up. Hey, they're here. And the guy comes over to Sam and the pastor going, hey, we got a guy that wants to meet you. He's been waiting for you. Sam goes, you didn't know we were going to be here. Little Sam knew. Didn't know the Lord was working it out. All you had to do is say yes. And that's what got him there. Sam follows a man into a hut. It's a dark hut. He takes his shoes off. Show respect. He sees a man over in a distance. As he looks to the man, he sees the whiteness of his eyes and the white of his hair and the white of his beard. As he gets closer to him, he looks down at his leg. He can see that a bone was coming through his flesh. And it happened many years ago because the flesh has overcome around the bone. He begins to share with Sam. See, we all have a calling. We all have an urging to seek God. He said he fell off a cliff. As he begins to fall off the cliff, he cried out to God, send me someone to show me about you. It was many years later. This is where Sam comes in. He shows up the village. But the night before Sam got there, God came to him and said, I'm going to bring you somebody tomorrow that will tell you about me. That's what it means to go. That's what it means to be obedient. Listen to the call. We all have a call. We all have something God wants us to do. Are we willing to say yes? And that's where we're at. So we need your prayers. We need your help to help us to get the van and want you. Pray for us. We thank you very much, Pastor Wendy.
Missions, it always gets to my heart. Thank you so much for sharing. And we're going to take up an offering later, and we're going to pray over you later, just a little later in the service. This week, I saw a video that's out there on the internet. Oh, kids, you can go to children's church. Remember, if you want that little pig, Quentin, remember what Grandma said. Sorry, I was distracted. This week I saw a video that's out there on the internet, and it's a young lady, and she's talking, and she's saying that the church's purpose is to pour into the congregation, to feed them, to inspire them. But instead, the church is always just begging for the congregation to serve and sacrifice. I watched this video. The only thing I could do was sigh. And it's interesting because Brittany and I had this discussion about that kind of thinking before. But it was just interesting to hear this girl's perspective. She was talking like she wanted to stop at church on a Sunday morning, like it was a gas station. And she's going to stop and fuel up and then go on about her own life. And I thought, well, how many people sitting in pews think like that? And then I thought, well, not this church. We read God's word, we fill up on the Holy Spirit, and we serve the kingdom. And Jesus is not asking for 2 or 3 hours per week. He's asking for our whole life. We know that. Yeah. And I hope this week's message demonstrates that dedication in some way. So last week was Easter, and our focus was on what Jesus did for us. But we also talked about the disciples and that they were having a very hard time, and Jesus brought them unexpected joy. Remember, the scripture said, then Jesus ascended to heaven, and they walked back to Jerusalem with great joy. But that is not the end of their stories. So what will be the next chapter of their lives for the disciples and the close followers? Jesus commanded them to wait for the Holy Spirit. And so they're going to wait in the upper room, and they're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. But we're going to talk more about that on Pentecost Sunday, which is May 24th. But the gospel writers state Jesus' last command in their own way. But I think the takeaway is the same. So in Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Matthew 28:18-20, I think most everyone can recite this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We can also go to Luke 24:48-49. And it's written a little bit different, but yet its message is the same. You are the witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that's what is known as the Great Commission. We talk about that a lot in missionary training. But let's look at where the disciples are headed in just a little bit of a different perspective. The disciples and the close followers had been on a journey with Jesus. They had been traveling with him. They were with him, hearing him teach. They watched so many miracles that he performed. Jesus expanded their faith and their views. Now, what do I mean by Jesus expanded their views? Let me give you an example. Remember when Jesus comes up to, or no, I'm sorry. When Peter comes up to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." And another translation says seven times 70 times. Either way, what Jesus is saying is that you will forgive over and over. You see how Jesus was stretching their thinking? And as followers of Jesus, we are set apart from the world. Our lives look different. What is expected of us looks different. But now Jesus is asking them to move into a whole new chapter, to spread the gospel like never before. They received the Holy Spirit to do these amazing missions and impact God's kingdom forever. So let's look at Peter. Peter was the primary leader preaching at Pentecost and organizing the initial church. Peter and John visited Samaria to confirm new believers, to heal, to pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is kind of a big deal because remember, it wasn't so long ago that Peter didn't even like Samaria. Remember when we talked about the Samaritan woman at the well? The disciples, they'd gone off to town to get food, and when they came back, Jesus was talking to the woman from Samaria, and they said, "Why are you even talking to her?" Yeah, they've come a long way on who they love and who they're going to minister to. Peter raised Dorcas from the dead in Joppa, which resulted in many conversions. And Peter visited the Roman centurion, Cornelius, breaking barriers by preaching to the Gentiles and praying for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Peter traveled through modern-day Turkey, and finally he ended up in Rome. And in Rome, he was crucified upside down. How about Matthew? Matthew ministered in Judea for many years after Jesus' ascension. He wrote the Gospel of Matthew in Aramaic for a Jewish audience to prove that Jesus was the Messiah, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy. He later preached in Ethiopia, Persia, and Parthia, which is now modern Iran, Iraq area. It is believed he died as a martyr in Ethiopia by being stabbed with a spear. And even though he was not one of the original 12 disciples, Mark was an evangelist, a missionary companion to Paul and Barnabas, and an interpreter for Peter. He wrote the Gospel of Mark, which focuses on Jesus' servanthood. Mark traveled to Egypt around 49 AD, and he started the Church of Alessandria. There we go. And after ministering for nearly 20 years in Egypt, he was martyred there. Thomas preached in modern-day Iran and Iraq and arrived in India in 52 AD. Remember, crucifixion, we believe, was 33, but he got to India in 52, and he founded churches there, and he was so successful at conversions that he was martyred in India in 52 AD by a spear. Now, Andrew, he's described as the behind-the-scenes leader. He focused on personal evangelism, about bringing individuals to Christ personally, and that includes Peter. He preached along the Black Sea and in areas that will become Ukraine, Russia, and Greece. Those are really big areas. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece, and it was said that he continued to preach while he was hanging on the cross. Continued to preach. That is dedication. And what about Mary Magdalene? You know, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened to Mary. But the Orthodox Church has recorded that she preached the resurrection and that she traveled to Rome and reportedly declared, "Christ is risen," to the Emperor Tiberius. And the story goes that she presented the emperor with a white egg, and he was mocking her, and he said that a man could no more rise from the dead than the egg in her hand could turn red. And the egg immediately turned red, symbolizing Christ's blood and resurrection. It is thought that Mary Magdalene moved to Ephesus with Mary, mother of Jesus, where she continued her missionary work and eventually died. And of course, there's Paul. We all know about Paul. He took three major missionary journeys, which are very well recorded. He was preaching. He faced intense persecution. And he wrote letters that established core Christian doctrine. Paul brought the gospel to non-Jewish populations, changing the scope of Christianity. And for all of his hard work, he was martyred in Rome by beheading. John also preached and healed and visited new believers. He wrote five of the New Testament books. It is said that he once survived a cauldron of boiling oil in Rome. He is believed to be the only apostle who did not die a martyr's death. He died of old age. So why am I telling all of these people's stories? Jesus commanded them to share the gospel, and they obeyed, and they laid their lives down for him. These are real people who made real sacrifices to share the gospel. And I sincerely doubt that there was a planning committee that discussed how to make the service more entertaining. They brought the truth of Jesus, and the truth was enough. I saw a quote this week after I'd already written my sermon. I read something that Francis Chan had wrote, and he's talking about how the church's purpose is not to entertain. And, you know, if you follow Francis Chan, he's a Christian writer, he's really matured in his faith lately, and the things that he's saying. I've always liked Francis Chan. I've liked the things that he says, but different. He is different these days. And is it possible that many modern churches have become too comfortable in America? Do we care more about the lighting on the stage than souls being saved? And what if we compare ourselves to Nigeria? Nigeria consistently ranks among the highest in the world for Christians killed for their faith. And yet, believers still meet, and they still worship Jesus. I mean, look on the internet sometime at what's happening in Nigeria. It is heartbreaking, and yet their faith is so strong. And Jesus says that those who are persecuted for him will be blessed. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, "I saw the thrones on which they were seated, those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God." And I am sure that Sandra is going to talk about this passage in Revelation on our Sunday night Bible study at some point, because it's a good one. But you know, our reward is in heaven. We are not promised an easy life here on earth because we follow Jesus. The disciples, they did not have an easy life, but they lived out what Jesus had set before them. We too are to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are to share the gospel and serve others. And today, this very day, we get two opportunities to serve Jesus in real ways. And the first way is that we get to pray over the Bibles that are here on the altar. And I bet when you came in, you thought, why are there all these books on the altar? Well, let me tell you. We have, I think it's 22 Old and New Testaments, all in Spanish, that were given to us as a gift this week. There is a need in this community for a Protestant Spanish service. That need exists. Haywarden, I think, is like 36% Hispanic. And there is a Spanish Mass once a week here in Haywarden. But there's not a Protestant church. There used to be, but there's not. And I honestly believe that God is going to use this church in a real way to make this happen. And I think God's first step is to give us the vision in our heart that there is a need to serve him in this way. I think the second step was to provide these Bibles for this very purpose. And I didn't expect that. It just came completely out of the blue. But I was so happy, about as happy as I was about the drum set. So what's the next step that God has for a Spanish-speaking service? I have absolutely no idea. But we have the privilege to sit on the front row and see what God is going to do next. Because it is important to God. I know it is. He's put that in my heart. And we get to see what he's going to do. But with this morning, will you join me in earnestly praying over these Bibles? Let's just pray for what God is going to do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us and for guiding us to love others. I thank you for these precious Bibles. Dear God, we pray that these Bibles get into the hands of those who are seeking you. We pray that these Bibles will change the lives of those who will read their words and hear from you. Dear God, we pray for guidance and direction of what you would have us to do to help grow your wonderful kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it exciting to think about what God is going to do with this Spanish service? I'm excited. The second thing we get to do, and Mark, if you want to come forward, is that we get to take up an offering for Jesse and Mary Beth to get out on the mission field. It is a privilege to contribute to what God has planned for their ministry and to pray for them. And so we're going to take up an offering to help get them to the mission field.